Welcome into Southeastern Carolines 1025, 1063, the game. I'm Caroline Fenton. I'm your host, as I am every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., where we break down all of the biggest games surrounding the Southeastern Conference, the biggest storylines, and of course, the best part, my picks of the day. We've got some big games coming up today, arguably the biggest game of the season so far in the SEC, and probably the biggest game for the Tennessee Volunteers this century. So we'll break all of that down, Alabama, Tennessee, but there's also some other games that has been overshadowed by the Crimson Tide and the Volunteers. We've got Mississippi State, Kentucky, LSU, Florida, a nice little first-year head coach matchup. So we'll get into all of those today. And I also want to let y'all know that we are live from 312 Pizza Company. They're the official sponsor of Southeastern Carolines. With me, Caroline Fenton, it is Nashville's authentic Chicago pizzeria, and I appreciate them for hosting me every Saturday morning. It's the official home to my show. It's home to some of the best food in Nashville, and they've got authentic Chicago eats. They've got thick crust pizza, thin crust pizza, and if pizza's not your thing, they've got Italian beef sandwiches. They've got really good soft pretzels. So come out, grab some local beer. They've got tons on tap. Watch some of the games. Hang out at 312 Pizza Company, my official home of Southeastern Carolines. So I want to get into Alabama, Tennessee. I want to get into Mississippi State, Kentucky. I want to get into all of that. But before we do that, we are 6 weeks through the SEC season. We are halfway through. So I figured, just like we did in school, how about a little midterm report for some of the SEC schools? Now, I am also basing this on some of the expectations going into this season. I don't really know if I deem it necessary to give a midterm report to a Vanderbilt team that really wasn't expected to do much this season. And although Vanderbilt probably shocked a lot of people against Hawaii, and although Vanderbilt was up against Ole Miss last week at halftime, and although Vanderbilt has shown very good flashes at times, Vanderbilt wasn't expected to do much, and I'm not sure how much Vanderbilt really will do. So I really want to look at the midterm grades for teams based off of their expectations, although it might be high. They had high expectations for this team. They didn't meet those, and maybe pretty low expectations, and they've proven, hey, we are much better than you ever thought that we could have been. So some of our midterm grades, and I want to start off with Kentucky. Kentucky's coming off of a 10-win season last year against Florida, against LSU, against some of the biggest names in college football. Kentucky had very high expectations coming into this season. Do you remember going into the season when we were talking about Will Levis, potentially first overall pick? Will Levis, Kentucky quarterback, potentially the first quarterback taken off the board in the 2023 NFL draft. Those were legitimate conversations that we were having. I don't think that we are having those conversations anymore. And I know that Will Levis was injured last week and he was out against South Carolina, but I think Will Levis and this Kentucky team has proven that maybe they're not the 10-win team that they were last year. But that didn't stop the very high expectations going into this season. I mean, of course, coming off of a 10-win season, you should have high expectations. And this is SEC Network's Chris Doering and Alyssa Lang talking. This was in August, before the season had started, about their projections and predictions for this Kentucky team.
Stop me if you heard this before,
What are we looking
Alyssa. I
at?
like this Kentucky
I
Wildcat
know.
team,
I
right?
do
You and I
too.
have been on the bandwagon for a long time. I'm excited to see what this year's version of the offense looks. I have them winning
Wow.
11 games. I mean, does that seem like too much? I've just gone through this. This was like the first time I've done it. I want to keep it fresh. But I had them winning 10 games, and now I just gave them 11. Tell me where I'm
Man,
wrong.
I don't think you're that far off though from 11-1.
I could see them maybe going 10-2, but I
Yeah,
think they're
yeah.
a double-digit win team this year.
A double-digit win team. 11-1, says Chris Doering, who covers all of these SEC teams very closely. And he did a full breakdown of Kentucky's schedule, what games he expected Kentucky to win, and what game he expected Kentucky to lose. Chris Doering expected Kentucky to win out until Tennessee, lose to Tennessee, and then win out the rest of the season, beating Georgia 11-1. Here, Kentucky sits at 4-2, coming off back-to-back losses at Ole Miss and then a loss to South Carolina, a pretty lowly South Carolina team. Nobody expected that. I didn't expect that. Even without Will Levis, even with Will Levis hurt, I didn't expect South Carolina to beat Kentucky. And you could say, okay, Will Levis is back against Mississippi State. So, is it as simple as they were missing Will Levis against South Carolina? and he was hurt against Ole Miss, and they made so many costly mistakes against Ole Miss. So, you know, that was just a bad game. They make too many mistakes, and Will Levis was out against South Carolina, but they'll get back on track. Will Levis is back. They'll get back on track. And I don't know the answer to that question. We'll see today against Mississippi State. We will. But I don't think so, because it hasn't just been a Will Levis was hurt against South Carolina, and Kentucky has dominated every other game that they have played. I mean, let's not forget that just a few weeks ago, Kentucky played Northern Illinois very close. They were able to sneak out a 31-23 win, and Will Levis got sacked 5 times. And Kentucky's biggest win so far this season was against Florida. Kentucky played a great game. They were able to get to the quarterback. They were able to stop Anthony Richardson. I don't even think he rushed for a single yard. I think he net that day probably -4, -3 yards, something like that. So, you know, credit to Kentucky and that team for being able to beat a Florida team coming off of a massive win against Utah in week two. But Will Levis wasn't necessarily Superman in that game. I mean, he went 13 of 24, threw for 200 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. The team as a whole ran for 70 yards. So it's not like Kentucky was, you know, just offensive fireworks in that biggest win of the season. And you could say, okay, well, Kentucky didn't have Chris Rodriguez in that game. Kentucky was without Chris Rodriguez for the first 4 weeks of the season. So he just needed some time to get back on track, and he'll help this offense turn things around. We played against Ole Miss. He ran for 72 yards and a touchdown. It's not a bad day, but that wasn't Chris Rodriguez. That wasn't, you know, 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, like what we were used to seeing from him last year. And going into that Kentucky Ole Miss game, I said on the show, I said, is Chris Rodriguez the key to unlock some of the offensive, you know, problems or setbacks that Kentucky was facing? And against Ole Miss, he proved that, no, not necessarily. Well, he didn't hurt the team. He wasn't that, oh my goodness, we've been missing this piece kind of player that I kind of expected him to be in that game. But, you know, I'll give a little bit of leeway. I'll give him the BOD and say maybe, you know, he's been out for 4 weeks. He hasn't been able to be in practice. Maybe he just needed a game to get his legs underneath him. And against South Carolina, he had a pretty solid day, 126 yards rushing, but he wasn't able to find the end zone. And Kentucky still lost that game. So, and you could say, okay, well, it was out without Will Levis. Well, they've got Will Levis today. He's back and healthy. Chris Rodriguez will be in this game against Mississippi State. But if Kentucky isn't able to get this win against Mississippi State, I think that we can look to Kentucky and say, wow, that team really, really fell short of expectations. I mean, I said it at SEC Media Days because, you know, we've all had that third best team in the SEC conversation of, you know, who's going to be behind Georgia and Alabama. And there were a lot of people saying Kentucky. And I just couldn't get on board with that. Because although they had a 10-win season last year, they were a really solid quarterback. Mark Stoops has won 10 games before and then fell short of expectations after that. 2018, they went 10-3. 2019, they went 8-5. 2020, 5-6. 2021, they had that 10-win season. They had a really solid season. And in 2022, I look at the absolute best-case scenario for Kentucky to be 8-4. They play Mississippi State today, Tennessee next week, Missouri the following, then Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Louisville. They can beat Missouri and Vanderbilt and Louisville. So that's 3 wins. I don't see Kentucky beating Tennessee or Georgia. Today, Mississippi State, that's the difference for this team between 7-5 and 8-4. And even going 7-5 or 8-4, with 8-4, which I think is the absolute best case scenario for Kentucky at this point, that's falling short of expectations. You know, Chris Doering saying 11 wins. I think it's falling short of expectations for that fan base as well. So where it stands right now, when I'm already looking at the outlook for the rest of Kentucky season, now that we're midway, their midterm grade isn't looking so hot. At this point, I give Kentucky like a C. They look like a very average SEC team right now. That's what it is. They get a C. There's another team that's really fallen short of expectations, that was hyped up so much in the offseason, who's really become kind of a SEC fan favorite. And I love that. And that's Arkansas. Last year, they went 8-4 in the regular season. They lost to Georgia, Ole Miss, kind of a shocking loss to Auburn and Alabama. And then they won that bowl game against Penn State, the Outback Bowl last year. So they finished the season with a bowl win, overall 9-4. And there were very high expectations for Sam Pittman and what he was able to do, you know, bringing Arkansas out of the depths of the SEC West. I mean, I remember just a few years ago, Arkansas was like the laughing stock of the SEC West. Like, you could look at an Arkansas game and circle it and say, easy dub. You can't do that anymore with Arkansas. And that's a sign of what Sam Pittman has done at Arkansas and how much that program has really grown. But so far where it stands compared to our expectations going into this season, I don't think Arkansas is quite there yet. I mean, Jordan Rogers even thought that Arkansas could be the third best team in the SEC.
Who's the third best team in the SEC?
Everybody, it is absolutely zero doubt Arkansas is by far the third best team. And you know what? You know what? Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to let you cheer here in another second because Georgia's going
to
be good.
To the crowd.
Georgia. No. Listen, Georgia lost a lot of people. They're going to be good. If Arkansas was playing Georgia today, wherever in this country, I'm picking Arkansas.
Wow.
Right now.
Wow.
Arkansas has a brutal schedule, but they have their identity back on offense. One of the best quarterbacks in the country in this league in KJ Jefferson. They're going to be a force to reckon with. Brutal schedule, like I said.
Brutal schedule.
But they're really good.
Go ahead, Rome.
Wow. Third best team in the SEC. He says by far, Arkansas is the third best team in the SEC. Wherever they are, whoever they play, on the road, at home, I'm picking Arkansas, says Jordan Rogers. Well, now through 6 weeks, Arkansas is 3-3. They're 0-3 in conference play, and they're coming off of three consecutive losses against SEC West opponents. A loss to Texas A&M, heartbreaking, the oink doink. A loss to Alabama, and then a loss to Mississippi State last week. And you could say, okay, well, Arkansas played A&M close. If they make that field goal at the end of the game, and the conversation about Arkansas is different. And then they played Alabama, which is a game that I don't think anyone expected Arkansas to really win, or maybe they did, and it just feels a little silly saying it now, looking back, seeing as though Alabama is still covered, even playing with a half of their backup quarterback. And then against Mississippi State, they had their backup quarterback in, KJ Jefferson was hurt. You can make all of those excuses about Arkansas, and all of those things are facts. They did play A&M close, and they did play Mississippi State with a backup quarterback. And, you know, I think a lot of people believed in Arkansas against Alabama. Maybe not rightfully so, but they still did. But the matter of the fact is nobody is talking about Arkansas now like how Jordan Rogers was talking about Arkansas at the beginning of the season. And Jordan Rogers was not alone. There was a lot of love for this Arkansas team going into the season. Now, no one is talking about Arkansas like that. They're 3-3 right now. And then on the remaining schedule, they have BYU today, Auburn, Liberty, LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri. Now, I think the Auburn game, they absolutely can win. They can beat Liberty. They can beat LSU. They can beat Missouri. So that's four games. So that's 7 wins. That's 7-5. If they get a win against BYU today, they could be 8-4. And then that's kind of a toss-up game with Ole Miss. So, I mean, Arkansas still could win 9 games if they win out the rest of the season. It's not necessarily a bloodbath for Arkansas. You know, they're going to have to steal a game against Ole Miss. They're going to have to play Auburn and LSU well. And I will make my official pick for the Arkansas-BYU game today. I have no idea what to expect. This may come as a shock to some of you, but I am not a BYU expert. But Arkansas, I think so far, while the rest of their season could show to be very promising, so far their season has not given a lot of Razorback fans hope. And that's such a different feeling surrounding this program than it was going into this season. And there's three more teams that I have mid-season grades for. It's Mississippi State. Going into this season, the FPI projected them to win 6.5 games, over under 6.5 games. And that's absolutely ridiculous. First of all, I don't even know what FPI really is. I don't know how much we can really trust it, but they expected Mississippi State to win either 6 or 7 games. The way that Mississippi State has played, they've been silently very good so far this season. They started out their season against Memphis and Arizona, two games that I don't think many SEC fans paid attention to. Week 3, they went on the road to LSU, lost to LSU. And I think that loss looks a lot worse now than it did at the time, because I think we've learned a lot about LSU in these past few weeks. But Mississippi State, I think, has made up for it. They stomped A&M and they beat Arkansas last week. Right now, they're 5-1. And right now, Will Rogers is cooking. Right now, Will Rogers is a very sneaky, spooky, dark horse Heisman candidate. Do I think he's going to win? No. Do I think he's going to be a finalist? No. But do I think that we need to start talking about Will Rogers in that conversation? Yes, I do think we do. I mean, he has looked great this season, and they've got two big-time SEC West wins. Now, Mississippi State has the misfortune of playing Alabama and Georgia this season. So they've got Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, and then ETSU and Ole Miss at the end of the season. That's a really difficult schedule, but right now they're 5-1. Right now, nobody's talking about Mississippi State, but I think if they get a win against Kentucky today – and they play Alabama well the following week, a lot of people are going to start looking to Mississippi State as being, you know, at least a team that we need to pay attention to. And then LSU and Florida, I think, are two very fair teams to give midterm grades to, but I'm really not going to. Talk to me next year. Those two teams get the first-year head coach pass. It's not fair to give an evaluation of a first-year head coach after six games. I don't even think it's fair to give an evaluation about a coach after one full year. Now, have both teams looked bad at times? Yes. Have both teams looked good at times? Yes. They're both 4-2. I think that each respective fan base has been given reason to be a little bit concerned and also with some optimism moving forward. So LSU in Florida, they get a pass. Just they get the first-year head coach pass. But that's going to be a really interesting game that we'll break down later on in the show. It's the battle of two first-year head coaches between LSU and Florida. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought on that, we'll get into your calls and your texts. But coming up next, there's one SEC team that has passed their midterms with flying colors. But today is their toughest test yet. Will they pass? We'll get into that coming up next. Southeastern Carolines, Caroline Fenton is 1025-1063 the game.
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
Classic jokester, Nick Saban, who's just known for being super laid back and fun, right? But that was Nick Saban after the 2021 SEC Championship. But going into that game, so many people, myself included, went into that game thinking Alabama has not looked like Alabama this year. Alabama has a first-year quarterback. Alabama, quote-unquote, rebuilding year, even though they ended up in the national championship, against a Georgia team that has looked dominant against every single team that they have played. One of the best defenses, if not the best defense, in the history of college football. No way Alabama is able to beat Georgia, is what I said, is what a lot of national talking heads said. That's what everyone was talking about going into that SEC championship. Of course, we all know the story and how that turned out. Alabama beat Georgia and made Georgia look silly. Didn't even just barely squeak by. Wasn't even, you know, a kind of back and forth game. Alabama really made Georgia look unprepared and not ready. And Alabama surprised us. Alabama surprised me in that SEC championship game. Now, I would say this is probably the most hyped up an opposing team has been against Alabama since that SEC championship game, right? Did you think? Because I think every single game, Alabama is favored. Alabama is, you know, you can always have a talk about, you know, is Alabama going to get upset? We had those conversations when Alabama played Arkansas. Is there an upset brewing in Fayetteville? I wasn't buying it. You can have those conversations, but I don't think that they were as deep rooted in truth. And I don't think that there was as much quote unquote rat poison against Alabama as there is this week. Because they're going into Neyland Stadium and they're taking on a 5-0 undefeated Tennessee team that has looked really good all season long with an offense that a lot of defenses have had a really tough time stopping. And college football, along with the NFL, along with most sports, it's a what have you done for me lately league. What has Alabama done lately? Barely squeaking by against a Texas A&M team, playing their, if you want to call it their backup quarterback, it was their starting quarterback at the beginning of the season. Now he's a backup. I don't know what it was. A quarterback that lost the starting job. Played them very close. Alabama turned the ball over four times, at the hands three times of Jalen Milroe, their backup quarterback. Alabama barely squeaked by Texas A&M. What has Tennessee done for us lately? Tennessee went into Tiger Stadium and made a very big statement against LSU in Baton Rouge, beating them 40-13. All the momentum is on the Tennessee side. All of the criticism and the speculation is on Alabama's side. Is this team really that good? If they can barely beat Texas with their backup quarterback, the They can barely squeak by Texas A&M. It looked pretty bad doing it. Is this Texas? Is this Alabama team really that good? So the question is, can Tennessee really beat Alabama? For the short answer, yeah. Yes, Tennessee can beat Alabama. Yes. But just how much, how confident do I feel about that? Yesterday, I gave it about a 20% chance. When I was asked yesterday at Stillman & Company, what percent chance would you give Tennessee to beat Alabama? I said about 20%. And I still feel that way today. How exactly can they do it? If Bryce Young comes out, I believe he's going to play. But that's also still a question. If Bryce Young plays, Tennessee can beat Alabama if Bryce Young is not Bryce Young. If Bryce Young turns the ball over, if Bryce Young overthrows receivers, if the offensive line can protect Bryce Young and he's on the ground more than he's upright. Now, what percentage chance do I give those things? Not very high. But Bryce Young is coming off of an injury. Don't expect Bryce Young to be 100%. So if he's not able to make those deep throws that we're used to Bryce Young making, I think that's more likely. So if Bryce Young just isn't Bryce Young and he's not able to carry his team like he was against Texas, he single-handedly beat the Longhorns in week two. If that happens, if he's not able to carry his team, then I think Tennessee could win. I think if Alabama's secondary looks how it did against Texas, if they commit penalties and shoot themselves in the foot again like they did against Texas, Tennessee can win this game. If Alabama commits 100 yards worth of penalties, well, Tennessee's a good enough team to take advantage of that. We saw that against LSU. If you give Tennessee an inch, they will take a mile. LSU fumbled the kickoff. Tennessee turned that into a touchdown. LSU allowed a 58-yard punt return. Tennessee turned that into a field goal. That's how good this team is. If you commit mistakes, they're able to capitalize off of it. That's what makes a good team. But I don't also give that a great chance of happening because Alabama's already done that. Alabama made those mistakes. Will Anderson already committed several penalties in a single game. You don't think Nick Saban ripped them a new one after that game? You don't think he instilled the fear of God in that team if they play like that again? Nick Saban teams don't traditionally play sloppy like that. But very rarely, if ever, do they play sloppy like that two games in a season, especially two games in a row. They played sloppy against Texas A&M. Turned the ball over four times. That's why Texas A&M was in that game. They don't play sloppy like that twice in a season or twice in a row. And, you know, as soon as he could win, if Alabama turns the ball over just like they did against A&M, like I mentioned, like I said, how many times do they do that? 2 weeks in a row. Not very often. I mean, if Tennessee just comes out and does what they do on offense, they're doing their job. They're doing everything that they can do to beat Alabama. But Tennessee's going to have to do more than that today. Tennessee needs to do their thing on offense because whatever they're doing on offense is working. It's the defensive side of the ball and how the defense can stop Alabama and put pressure on Bryce Young. That's the key here. It's not something that Tennessee's defense, or specifically the secondary, has been able to do this season. Anthony Richardson threw for 450 yards and two passing touchdowns against Tennessee. At that point, I don't even think that he breached the 200-yard passing mark. He hadn't thrown a single passing touchdown before that game. And he was throwing the ball all over the yard against Tennessee. Jaden Daniels has not hit at least 300 yards since November of 2019. Against Oregon, his freshman year at Arizona State. On Saturday, he threw for 300 yards against Tennessee. And you could say, well, LSU was down so bad all game, so they were throwing the ball. They had to because they were down so bad. Well, LSU was down 17-0 to Auburn in the first half. Jaden Daniels had 80 passing yards. It wasn't for lack of trying. It wasn't lack of not throwing the ball. It just wasn't working. It hasn't worked all season. That's been the biggest critique of Jaden Daniels in this LSU offense all season long. Can't throw the ball. He was able to do it against Tennessee. Now, that wasn't the difference in the game, but he was able to do it against Tennessee. Now, Bryce Young is way better than Anthony Richardson and Jaden Daniels. Way better. So if Bryce Young, even at 75%, 70%, whatever it is, he's not going to be 100%. Even if he's not 100%, Tennessee's secondary is going to have to really tighten things up if they want to win this game. I mean, this game is everything for Tennessee. I've heard a lot of, you know, quote unquote, Tennessee's playing with house money this weekend. And I couldn't disagree more. Because this game is about Tennessee's reputation. If they lose to Alabama, their season is still alive. Absolutely. But this game is about respect for Tennessee. If they win this game, then Tennessee is legit, legit. They're not just really good. They're elite in the SEC. We're going to start talking about college football playoff for Tennessee if they beat Alabama. They could be legitimate national title contenders if they beat Alabama. If they don't beat Alabama, then they'll probably go 10-2 in the regular season with another loss to Georgia. They'll go to a New Year's Six. I think Tennessee fans can still step away from this season being really excited for the future and really happy about where this season went. But those are two very different things. And a win will prove that they contend for an SEC title. They can be a college football playoff contender. That Josh Heupel was able to get that team ready to go on a stage that he nor any members of this team have ever been on before. It'll prove that Tennessee is in very good hands. The dark days are over. They beat Alabama. You feel good about it moving forward. That's all what a win can prove. But even with a loss, even though their season is still alive, even though you can still talk about Atlanta, even though you still probably could talk about the college football playoff, it just has a different tone to it. Because they could beat Florida, and they could beat LSU, and they could beat Pitt, but they couldn't beat Alabama. And that's what differentiates the elite from the really, really, really good in the SEC. And I think Tennessee fans want to be elite. Today will decide that. So can Tennessee beat Alabama? Yeah, they can. But it depends, I think, on which Alabama offense shows up and if Tennessee's defense can play better today than they have all season long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your calls, your texts, your thoughts on that. Can Tennessee beat Alabama? I want your thoughts on that, plus some of the games of the week and what I am watching for in the SEC. We'll get into that coming up next. Southeastern Carolinas, Caroline Fenton, 1025-1063, the game.
Being the quarterback and the offensive coach that you are,
look at that.
We often...
They got a camera right there, so you can...
There you go. You pleased with how you look?
I don't really pay much attention, but I had this thing right here. You got this thing where you kind of have front view, back view, side view. You know, it's like you act like it's Fort Knox up here. So anyway, I just sorted it out.
Death taxes Mike Leach being weird. That was on the set of SEC Nation yesterday. It was on with Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum was trying to get in-depth in this conversation with Mike Leach about Will Rogers, his quarterback. And he's like lifting up his hairline, checking himself out in the camera, which is just classic Mike Leach. Expect the unexpected with that one. But he has got a big game today, Mississippi State, Kentucky, which I think is going to be a sneakily good game. All this week, we're talking about Alabama, Tennessee, rightfully so, 3-6, potential for a huge upset. I mean, rightfully so, we're talking about Alabama, Tennessee, but I think Mississippi State, Kentucky is going to be a sneaky good game because Mississippi State is hot, 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 coming off of two consecutive SEC West wins. And Kentucky, on the other hand, is coming off of two consecutive SEC losses. They were humbled greatly by the hands of Shane Beamer and the South Carolina Gamecocks. So these two teams are in a completely different arena because Mississippi State, I believe, is outperforming expectations. And as we highlighted earlier in the show, Kentucky is greatly underperforming expectations. Now, this game could be different, could look different than it did against South Carolina for Kentucky because Will Levis is expected to play. But I don't think that he's the key in this game for Kentucky. I think the key for Kentucky is to get Chris Rodriguez involved, get him involved early, and get him involved often. He had 126 yards last week against Carolina, which solid game, but he never found the end zone. And he wasn't that electric piece to Kentucky's offense that we all saw from him last year. Now, if he's able to pop off today for like a 2021 type of performance, like two rushing touchdowns, 150 plus yards, I think that Kentucky's going to be set up for success, not just today against Mississippi State, but also moving forward. If Chris Rodriguez is such a force in this offensive scheme like he was last year. But I mean, it's a 3-3 defense that Mississippi State runs. You always got to keep them on your toes. And Kentucky has more of a threat of a pass attack than, let's say, LSU had when LSU beat Mississippi State. Mississippi State gave up 200 rushing yards to LSU in a loss against LSU. So I think the run game here is key, but also pairing that with Will Levis's really talented passing ability. That's going to be the key here for Kentucky is a balanced offense led by Chris Rodriguez and able to spread the ball around and keep this Mississippi State solid 3-3-5 defense caught on their toes. But the key for Mississippi State this week, I think, Will Rogers. That's going to be the key. That has been the key for Mississippi State. That will continue to be the key for Mississippi State. Just let Will Rogers do Will Rogers things. He is someone, I mentioned this earlier in the show, he is somebody that I don't think that we're talking about enough. If you look at his stats, I mean, he has like Heisman-level statistics. He's thrown for 2,210 yards, 22 touchdowns, and just 3 interceptions. Now, you could say that Will Rogers is more of a product of the system rather than it really is his own skill, and I would probably say I agree with that for the most part. I don't think Will Rogers is the kind of quarterback, like a Bryce Young, so to speak, about, you know, you put the ball in his hands and he's going to be able to win that game for you no matter what anyone else on that team does. I think Will Rogers is more of a product of the system, but still, I mean, 2,000 yards is 2,000 yards. 22 touchdowns and 3 interceptions is just that. That's impressive. So if Will Rogers continues to do Will Rogers things, that is the key for Mississippi State's success today and their success moving forward. But let's give Kentucky some credit here. They were really solid defense. How will Will Rogers respond to the Kentucky's defensive front? He didn't respond very well to LSU's in Mississippi State's lone loss. So if Kentucky's able to get pressure on Will Rogers and Kentucky is able to limit the pass attack, well, that's how you beat Mississippi State. And I always say this about Mississippi State's offense. You either know how to stop them or you don't. And that's not really in-depth analysis from me there, but that's the truth. You either know how to stop the offense or you don't. You either do stop the offense or you don't. And that's the key between a win and a loss against Mississippi State. You stop the pass attack, you beat them. You don't, they beat you. So I will get into my picks coming up next, but that's just kind of a breakdown of what I see from Mississippi State, Kentucky. Now, LSU, Florida, I think is also a very, very fascinating game because these two programs are spookily similar at this point. And it goes beyond the head coaches because I think the head coach aspect of it here is absolutely at play. The only two first-year SEC head coaches, Brian Kelly on LSU side, and of course, Billy Napier for Florida. I think that's going to be an interesting storyline here. But one storyline that I don't think is necessarily very fair is that if Billy Napier beats LSU, then LSU made the wrong decision in hiring Brian Kelly. Or if Billy Napier beats Brian Kelly, you know, from Florida's perspective, then Billy Napier is the answer. I don't think that's true, and I don't think that's fair. I said that earlier in the show. I'm not going to make an evaluation of Billy Napier or Brian Kelly after 6 games. So how can I make an evaluation of Billy Napier or Brian Kelly just based off of 1? I don't think that's necessarily fair. But I think the key for this game, and which everyone should be watching if you are watching this game tonight on ESPN, is run game on both sides. Run game for Florida, because I mean that trio of running backs that Florida has is essentially unstoppable. And then you add on an incredibly mobile and strong and big quarterback in Anthony Richardson, and Florida's run game has been really difficult to stop. It's not unstoppable. Kentucky was able to stop it. Tennessee, for the most part, was able to stop it to a certain extent before Florida kind of made that comeback late in the game. It's not unstoppable. And LSU has done a really good job of stopping the run, except for last week against Tennessee, when Tennessee all of a sudden just found some sort of elite rushing attack against LSU. If you can sense my frustration there. But I think this is going to be a running battle. These are two quarterbacks that have been uneasy throwing the football. These are two very mobile quarterbacks. These are two run-first quarterbacks. This is a really good Florida offensive line and a really good LSU defensive line. This is kind of a subpar Florida defense, kind of a subpar LSU offense. This is a really good LSU defense and in a Florida offense led by Anthony Richardson that has been kind of up and down, hot and cold. So I think that two teams that find themselves in very similar situations off the field, two first-year head coaches, fired their coach in the middle of the season last year, kind of a dumpster fire, and they're also very similar on the field in their running ability. So interesting to see how this game kind of shakes out. I really do think it comes down to just whoever gets the final possession of that game. Of course, I'll get into my official pick coming up next, but that's what I'm looking for in this LSU-Florida game is the rush attack. I've also got Auburn-Ole Miss coming up this week. Poor Auburn. Poor Auburn. Bless their sweet little hearts. They're 3-3, and it feels way worse than 3-3, if we can be completely honest. They're coming off of a 2-game losing streak, a brutal, brutal loss to Georgia, 42-10 last week. Robbie Ashford threw for 165 yards, was just 13 of 38 with a touchdown. And then carried the ball 9 times for 64 yards. So not a bad rushing attempt from Robbie Ashford, their quarterback. But that was pretty much it in the run game. No Auburn running back ran for more than 25 yards. And that includes Tank Bigsby, a name that I think we all have grown to know because he's just that good. I mean, Auburn's defense allowed 500 yards of total offense. 300 rushing yards, almost. 300 rushing yards from Georgia. Allowed 7.5 yards per carry and 6 rushing touchdowns. Auburn is just brutal. Now, Ole Miss is no Georgia. Absolutely not. I will not make that claim whatsoever. They are no Georgia. But they're a solid football team. I mean, they're undefeated. They had a close win against Kentucky. If Will Levis doesn't fumble twice in the red zone in the last 2 minutes of the game, they probably don't win that game. But they did. Ole Miss was trailing Vanderbilt at the half, 20-17. The final score of 52-28 is not indicative of how that game really went, but Ole Miss walked away with the win. And that's the key here, is Ole Miss can find ways to win games. Ole Miss can, you know, play a very close game with Kentucky and find a way to win it at the end. Ole Miss can be trailing Vanderbilt and be able to come back and make a statement in the second half. Auburn just isn't good enough to be able to do that. If Auburn comes out slow, they're not going to be able to dig themselves out of a hole like Ole Miss can. Auburn blew a 17-point lead over LSU. I mean, Auburn almost lost to Missouri. If Missouri doesn't fumble in the end zone, Auburn loses. And of course, they didn't. I know we can play that game all day long. But that's just the difference between these two teams. Now, to be completely honest with you, I don't think that Ole Miss is a top 10 team in the country. They are ranked top 10. I don't think that they're one of the 10 best teams in the country. I think that they've just been able to win the games on their schedule. At the end of the day, that's the most important thing. I don't think that Ole Miss is any sort of national title contender. Ole Miss is going to be able to beat Auburn. This Auburn team and this coach, his days are numbered. And Auburn is in disarray until they find a way to part ways with Brian Harsin. But coming up next, I'm going to get into the rest of the games of the week, plus my official picks, what you need to put your money on today. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, plus your calls, your texts, your thoughts. It is Southeastern Caroline, Caroline Fenton, 1025-1063, the game. Southeastern Caroline's 1025-1063, the game. Now, finishing out my games of the week, looking at the rest of the slate around the Southeastern Conference, I'm looking at a strange, odd, little obscure little midseason matchup between Arkansas and BYU. Arkansas and on the road at BYU. And does this not sound just like a week one game? And here we are in week 7 and Arkansas is playing BYU, but whatever. I said this earlier in the show, I am not a BYU expert. I don't claim to be a BYU expert. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, just between us girls, I don't think I've watched a single BYU game this season. And I don't really want to, but I guess that will change today. But Arkansas is looking to get back on track. They've lost to 3 SEC teams in 3 weeks consecutively. I mean, Arkansas is going to need a win very, very badly. But BYU is also looking to snap back after they lost to Notre Dame, a pretty unimpressive looking Notre Dame team, to be completely honest. Who did they lose to this year, Jared? Marshall. They lost that game.
Yep.
To Marshall. So
yes.
Notre Dame has been very unimpressive. But both of these teams are looking to snap back. Arkansas probably needs a little bit more so than BYU, but Arkansas sitting at 3-3, BYU sitting at 4-2. And did a little bit of a deep dive with BYU. And I've not watched these games. So this is simply just me cherry picking stats. And passing offense, they're averaging about 265 yards a game. Rushing offense, they're averaging about 150 yards a game. Scoring offense, they're putting about 32 points a game this season. So it's nothing that's elite. It's not bad. They put up a fine amount of numbers. It's not elite. It's not great, but it's something, okay? Middle of the road, I would say BYU's offense and this team so far has looked average. Now, while Arkansas's passing offense has looked below average, I mean, they're averaging like 230 passing yards a game. But in terms of running the ball, Arkansas has been able to run the heck out of the ball. I mean, they're averaging 235 yards per game. And that's good for, I believe, 10th or 11th in the nation. So Arkansas can run the heck out of the ball, and that's really led by KJ Jefferson. So I think that if BYU wants to win this game, they're going to have to stop the rushing attack. I think that's how Arkansas has fallen to 0-3, is that they are a fairly one-dimensional offense. KJ Jefferson can throw the ball. We know he has a very strong arm, but they just don't throw the ball. So if you take the run game away from Arkansas, you have a pretty good shot at beating them. But also, is Arkansas's rush attack just too good for BYU's offense, defense, excuse me? Can Arkansas put up just enough points offensively, and can their really strong defensive front stop BYU's passing attack enough to be able to score enough points to get by them? I think that is a legitimate possibility in this game. So that's why I'm going to take Arkansas to cover the 2.5 against BYU and potentially even win outright. Whatever sportsbook you use, whatever value is best, whether it's Arkansas money line or Arkansas against the spread, I'm probably going to guess it's the money line. I would take Arkansas to win this game. It is a long road trip going out to Utah, but I think that they're very motivated to win this game. And if Arkansas doesn't beat BYU, I mean, you're looking at potentially a 7, maybe 8-win season for Arkansas. So I think Arkansas knows what's at stake here. So I'm going to take Arkansas to beat BYU and to cover the spread as well, obviously. But also Auburn-Ole Miss, I mean, 15.5 sounds like a lot. Because if it was 13.5, I would say that's money. I mean, Ole Miss by 2 touchdowns, easy. But it's that extra 1.5 that's going to hook you. But I think that Ole Miss is going to be able to cover. And if you take Ole Miss against the spread, you take Ole Miss minus 15.5, and Ole Miss is playing tight at the half or maybe even down at the half, don't sweat it. Like I mentioned earlier, they were down against Vanderbilt, and then they were able to score 30 points in the second half to be able to come back and win and cover. They were playing close with Kentucky, but they were able to find a way to come back. And Kentucky did cover that game, but Ole Miss was able to find a way to win that game. This Auburn team is just downright down bad. And I think that Brian Harsin's days are numbered. I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn loses this game, that Brian Harsin loses his job on the tarmac. They're going into a bye week next week. That's the time when you have some time to search for an interim head coach to let him come in there, establish culture. So I think that that Auburn is just in a really vulnerable position with this team. I'm going to take Ole Miss to cover. I think that Ole Miss and Jackson Dart are kind of starting to find their footing. And I think that Auburn is just continuing to take a step back. LSU, Florida. This is a game that I'm not wanting to bet on. This is a game that I really wanted to stay away from because it's two incredibly inconsistent teams. It's two teams that you don't know necessarily what you're going to get on any given Saturday. Anthony Richardson has one of the highest ceilings for any SEC quarterback, but also has one of the lowest floors. And I don't know how you can even predict which Anthony Richardson that you're going to get. Because Anthony Richardson played a bad game against South Florida and then put up 450 passing yards and almost 70 rushing yards against a really good Tennessee team. So it's unpredictable. He is unpredictable. This LSU team is unpredictable because it's a team that's almost comprised solely of cut up little scraps of paper all smushed together to create a roster because they were left with 39 scholarship players in a bowl game last year. LSU is unpredictable because, one, their offense is trying to find its identity, doesn't know what it is yet, and two, because its special teams are absolutely horrendous because you don't know if LSU is going to be able to field a punt or not. So LSU and Florida are both incredibly unpredictable teams for two different reasons. For Florida, it's the quarterback. For LSU, with Jaden Daniels, I think you kind of know what you're going to get, and it's not going to be outstanding. It's not going to be great, but he's been fairly consistent. He doesn't turn the ball over, so that's good. I would say what it comes down to is the defense, and LSU has the better defense. So I'm going to take LSU to cover the 2.5 in the Swamp, and I do think that LSU does win outright. And I think it's going to be a back and forth battle here. I think it's going to be a gross game. These are two programs that are trying to kind of heal themselves and build themselves back up. And they're just in the process of doing it. So, but I think with LSU's advantage in on their defense and also, you know, Florida coming off of a win against Missouri, LSU being embarrassed after losing so big to Tennessee at home, I think LSU is going to want to come back and make a massive statement. But I saved this one for last because it's the biggest one. It's the one that everyone's been waiting for. It's Alabama-Tennessee. This spread's interesting because it opened at, I believe, 8.5, climbed to 8, got all the way up to 7.5 or 7, depending on the sports book that you use. Went back down to 7.5, went back down to 8, went back down to 8.5. And I think it went as high as 9 yesterday. Where it stands, depending on your sports book, it's at 8.5. And I'm going to take Tennessee to cover, but Alabama to win outright. This is the biggest test for each of these teams so far. But I think that Alabama has the edge with Nick Saban, the preparedness of Nick Saban, all of the positive press going to Tennessee. Do they know how to handle that? I do think that Tennessee is able to keep it close just because this offense is really good and Alabama has been a little bit unpredictable so far this season. But I think that Alabama gets the win, but Tennessee keeps it close. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you for tuning in to Southeastern Carolines. We'll be back next Saturday at 10 a.m. with my picks of the week and what we learned from week 7. Coming up next, ESPN Radio.